Welcome back to one of my favorite sports podcasts, Frizz and the Grizz, with your host Trudo and my guy, Keith Frizzy Frizz.
Hello and welcome back to Frizz and the Grizz. It's your boy Trudo. Thank you for joining us live Tuesday, March 19th, or next day on podcasts. You know, all those good places, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to us. Do your boys a big favor, hit rate, subscribe to that shit, review that shit, give us 5 stars. If you don't, you're absolutely a hater. But first, before we get into all the good sports of the week, D, how you doing, buddy?
Everything is everything over here, man. I appreciate the introduction. I think like the more that we have Snoop doing the intros for us, the more I'm jumping into these more like excited and happy. Like, nothing against the way that you do your intro, but like now I hear him leading up to it. I'm just like, my guy, Trudo and D Frizz.
I made sure Snoop gave you the big shout out there. You know, I know Snoop would probably have more love for you than me. You got the dreads. You know, I'm sure you guys can relate a little better than me and Snoop, but it felt weird the first time hearing Snoop, but now I didn't even notice it the second time.
Yeah, it caught me off guard again. Definitely a surprise, but I love it. I love that that's part of the show now.
So today is going to be a super fun show. I'm going to be honest with you up front. We're probably going to do like 10 minutes of sports, and then we're going to go right into the good stuff. Last year, we had a really fun tournament with you, the listener. We did a March Madness tournament, 64 teams, quote unquote, of theme songs for television shows. And you guys, the listeners, had a great time with it. You voted online on, at the time, what was Twitter. Now it's the X going to give it to you, a little hint to what the tournament's going to be. We're back again this year. Only 32 teams, because I'm going to be honest with you, 64 is a hell of a lot to get through. 32 teams, best rappers ever. Greatest rappers ever. We based the list, the tournaments, the seedings, off of the Billboard Top 50 of all time rankings. I thought the seedings were pretty fair. D, do you like the tournament?
Yeah, so that was I like it. Obviously, we'll show and we'll share screens so those that are watching can see, and those that are listening, we'll go over each individual matchup and whatnot. I was curious as to where you found the matchups, but there it is right there. You said Billboard's Top 100 is where you got it from.
Yeah, so 32 rappers have been entered into our tournament of champions to be crowning the greatest rapper of all time. The way it's been constructed, I took the top 32 rappers from the list of 50 on the Billboard Top 50. First four chronologically got 1 seeds. Mm-hmm. Next four got 2 seeds on all the way down to the 8 seed, which is our lowest tier. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a very challenging tournament. Some of these 8 seeds are damn good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how people vote, because when we did the theme song last year, there was some I would say host influence, where I think some people went a little farther than we expected.
What do you mean by that?
My guy Timmy Turner, I think he was the Timmy Turner theme song. I think he stuck around a lot longer than we expected. So I feel, with this, you're going to get a mixed bag, right? You're going to get, you know, people that are like, no, this is how I feel, compared to like what, you know, the overall sentiment would be for somebody, you know, whether they think it's lyrics, whether they think it's their hits that they have, whether they think it's their beats that they drop. There's just like a whole multitude of the reasons why someone would feel this rapper is better than this rapper. So I'm curious to see where it all goes.
Yeah, I'm stoked to do this tournament. I feel like it's going to be super controversial. Everyone's going to have their own opinion, which means it's very important. Listen, you the listener, again, democracy is in your hands. Get us on X. I think we're at Frizz and Grizz on X. I'll have to double check the handle on that. But we will put up polls. Poll questions of the matchups. You will be voting. Whoever gets the most votes moves on in the tournament. Whether it's the worst voting pick in the world and we have the shittiest rapper to the finals, it doesn't matter. It's your choice. So stick with us. We're going to get to all the tournament stuff later, and we're going to be doing it throughout the month of March and into April.
Big fan of this one. Big fan of this one. What you got for some sports, though, before we kick us off with some music?
Yeah, let's jump into the quick hit segment. We're going to go over some of the storylines of the week. Hopefully, I can be as impeccable as I was last week with my quick hits. Let's do it.
Let's catch up on some of the sports headlines from the week. It's time for quick hits with my boy, Trudo.
All right. NFL moves come in, come out. Keenan Allen into Chicago. Justin Fields, see you later, out. In other NFL news, Aaron Donald, future Hall of Famer, retires. NBA Victor Wembanyama learned his name. He dominated against the Nets with a 33-15, 7 stat line, 7 blocks. Only the fourth player in NBA history to have that line. Orlando Magic, big home-and-home win against the Toronto Raptors, but even bigger, the moment it produced afterwards, the jersey swap between Grady Dick and Anthony Black, the Black Dick swap was born. Kyrie Irving, with an incredible buzzer beater, left-handed fadeaway hook shot against the Nuggets to win that for the Mavericks, who are fighting for playoff position. Tournament upsets in conference tournament play. NC State, a 10 seed, winning the ACC. St. Peter's a 5, New Mexico 6, UAB 4, Oregon 4, Auburn 4. Madness already starting. Nick Saban bitching at Congress about players getting paid. And then guess what? ESPN just announced today they inked a new deal with the college football playoffs. 6 years, $7.8 billion to have the rights to that. And that is your sporting update with Trudeau. Timing, impeccable.
I like it. And, you know, we don't have a timer. We don't have a countdown.
I don't think we need it for that.
No, I don't think we need it for it. Those that are viewing, that might be like, oh, let's put a little 60-second timer on it. Kind of like, what is it? Pardon the interruption when they're going through all of the stuff.
All the stuff.
I like it. I like the recap that you give. Care to share some feedback on a few of the points?
Yeah. First, let's just start with the last one because I think it's the most hilarious thing. Earlier in the week, I think it was, what are we on, Tuesday? So it was like last Wednesday, Nick Saban went to Congress in front of, you know, Senator or whatever, whoever in Capitol Hill, and gave a testimony about the state of college athletics and how he was deeply hurted about how players care more about money and not about growing as individuals, and how he cares so much about the players and, you know, them as humans, and he just can't stand them leaving for money. Yeah, okay, Nick, Mr. I've made $25 million a year coaching. And then just, it's hilarious to see 1 week later, $7.8 billion given from ESPN to the college football playoffs. That's a text. To the college football playoffs, 7.8 to have the playoff games. Guess how much of that money the players will be receiving?
About 0.01%.
Big old goose egg.
You're saying that? Well, they're getting the bread, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I just think it's so hypocritical. It's just such a perfect way to end the week after, you know, the very emotional testimony by Nick Saban about how college football is now all about money. Yeah, no shit it is.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think I said this off air. Love Nick Saban. Respect him as the greatest college football coach in the history of the game. He needs to stay off the mic. Not to say it's tainting his like legacy and whatnot, but he sounds like he's bitching too much. And it's going to come off as, well, you got out of the game because you couldn't do what other schools are doing now, which is they're leveling the playing field. If I can get X top 5 wide receiver to come to my school because I don't have to really recruit and I can just throw a bag at them. I said I didn't like that. That's, you know, that's what's going to happen to the game, but whatever. I'm kind of over it now. I'm, you know, done dying on that anthill. But essentially it makes it seem like, oh, I couldn't recruit against this, so like I had to get out. And it's like, you did what you did, and it's just a different day and age. It's a different athlete nowadays. Like, you have to stay with the times. And if you can't do that, get with it and get lost, man. Like, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Well, one thing that I find particularly interesting is that I remember Nick Saban back with the Dolphins in the NFL. And one of the things, I don't remember the tenure because I was a little bit younger. But one of the things I remember was him being very hard on the players. And I think a player like crying, one of their offensive linemen, I'm not sure if I'm misremembering, but he had a tough time being a head coach of the NFL because these players had so much more power and influence because they're getting paid tens of millions of dollars in the NFL. And Nick Saban, yeah, more than him. It's a power dynamic. So he goes back to college. What are you laughing about?
Like, hold on. Before, I know you're very serious about this, but like, imagine like Nick Saban trying to say something and like Orlando Brown, let's say he's the tackle, and like, hey man, I need you to make this block. And he just like
The fuck you want me to do?
The fuck are you telling me what to do? Like, you ain't ever played this game before? Like, I that's part of the reason why you failed there, because people are like, yo, man, back the fuck up and actually do something before you tell me what to do.
Well, I think this is a very important... I'm glad you brought us back for a second, because I think it's a very important thing, especially in professional sports. Players are absolutely aware of the contract situation of a coach. If a coach is on an expiring contract, he hasn't been renewed, he's not getting paid a lot of money, players look at this coach as expendable. Exactly. This is a completely different situation. If you look at the WNBA, the highest earner in the WNBA is not a player, but rather Becky Hammon, the coach, and she has tremendous power over the players. But going back to Nick Saban, he left the NFL, went back to Alabama because, in my opinion, the power dynamic is not in his favor. He's not a quote-unquote player's coach per se. He could exude this power and kind of lord over this Alabama program. He's like, I have the best program. You want to go to pros, you come here and you deal with my bullshit. Now the players are having options, they're making money. They can bounce elsewhere. Now he's bitching, not because of NIL, in my opinion, but because the power dynamics in college football has changed in a way that does not meet his style.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, kind of a segue into something that happened in Pittsburgh and now in Philly, where players just will, they have a lot of power in college nowadays, but they also, the transfer portal changed the way that college football landscape was, where people just, they don't want to deal with that shit. And we saw that there was a time, you know, not to say we're old or whatnot, but there was a time where the Bill Belichicks would say, take the money, take the pay cut because we're going to win a Super Bowl. Deal with my bullshit because we're going to win. And that started to fade away, and we see the Patriots now. Same thing with Saban and Alabama, where the last 4 or 5 years, like, it wasn't like the same Bama team. They still got a national championship out of it, so I'm not taking that away. But like, you saw things that were like, this doesn't seem like a typical Alabama team. Like, people that are just like not tuned in to what he's saying, very undisciplined, and then like on the back of their mind, like, yo, if it don't work out here, like, I'm just gonna go somewhere else. I don't want to deal with this. And like, it started to affect him, for him to be like, I have to get out now because like I can't handle. Ego wise, I could not handle a season going 7-5.
I feel like the college football landscape is shifting in a way towards college basketball, how college basketball has been. Kentucky under John Calipari rose to prominence when he embraced the one and done thing. He said, you want to be a one and done guy? That's fine. Come to Kentucky. I will get you ready for the pros. He did what was best for the players' long-term views. And I'm thinking that in college football, you're seeing a similar shift where guys who are more player-friendly, that are open to players coming in and out of the transfer portal, that are more accepting of players getting all this money and a little more power. I think of like Chip Kelly, for example. He's kind of a pushover coach, in my opinion, but he's good with the players. He's like a player's coach. And I think those type of guys will, you know, benefit greatly in the newer world of college football. You're disagreeing with me?
You mean Brian Kelly?
I don't know why I said Chip Kelly.
I had to, like, I was thinking, I was like, where's Kelly coaching right now? But you meant Brian Kelly.
LSU and Brian Kelly.
I'm following him, but I don't think Chip is coaching right now, at least major, you know, D1 school.
No, he was fun though, man. I miss Chip Kelly in college football. Hey, another thing I wanted to talk about is the Fields thing, right? Because I mentioned that in the recap. I'm not surprised that he got traded, but obviously we're both pretty shocked about the compensation for that and what we thought his value would be.
Not at all. No, I told you, like, the league had the Bears in a vice grip because they couldn't, you could. And the examples that I heard this week were like, oh, I mean, that makes sense. The most recent example was the Chiefs having Alex Smith and they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith got them to like the AFC championship. So it's not really like the exact same, but it's, you have a starting quarterback and then you bring in a rookie. Right. And for the example for this one is everybody knew that they had to get rid of him because they said they were going to do right by, like, they went ahead and said, Chicago's GMs and ownership said, we're going to do right by Justin and we're going to treat him, you know, on the way out as best as we possibly could. So that means they have to get rid of him. So why would I offer a second, third round pick if I know I don't have to? If I can wait until you say, shit, I have to unload him because the draft's in 2 months, like, we have to do something. and lo and behold, a sixth round pick that could be a fourth. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not saying that like he got undersold. I just think Pittsburgh swindled. I think they stole this draft pick where they have somebody sold this trade where they got a potential QB for the future. Obviously the tail is still out there for him, but they also have the QB now, which is Russell Wilson. So like they have the ability of playing both, but not hurting any like ego or whatnot. Russie struggles, Pitt's gonna call for Fields, and he's there to hopefully show what he can do with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say this is a thing on the Bears as much as you are gonna say, because your point is that, well, they waited so long and teams know that they were going to trade him. But to counterpoint that, let's say the Steelers were offering a fourth round conditional pick. If there were other bidders in this process, you could then go back to them and say, hey, they're offering me a fourth, give me a third. Like when there's a market, you can drive demand and increase the price. Clearly, there are not as many teams interested in Fields as we thought there would be. And it seems like in my opinion, it seems like the perception of him by front offices is pretty low at this point. And now, I think I'm a casual NFL fan. Like, I don't watch like tape and shit and like the all 22 and all that nonsense. But when I think of Fields, I think of the highlight, you know, breakaway runs he had, not this year, but the year prior, when he was having like 80 yard runs. He looked amazing on the ground. I haven't looked at the like tape again, but to me, this is kind of an indictment of him as a passing quarterback and what they think around the league, that he might not be a guy you can, you know, resuscitate as a passer. And I get it for Pittsburgh. It's a fourth. You're not giving up a ton. It could be a six if you don't switch to him. The only thing I would counter with is that now you're creating a situation in Pittsburgh where you're going to have a legit competition. And I think there's going to be immense pressure on both players, and it might end up by crumbling both of them in the long run. And then just one last thing before you get in, you know, for me, the biggest deterrent is that if your team's trading for Fields, the situation is that he's going to his fourth year. You're going to have 1 year to evaluate him. And then you're given the decision at that point. You have to either pick up his fifth year option or not, or turn it down. The fifth year option is $20 million. So you have a very short window to figure out, is this guy worth $20 million or more? And I just think there's so many factors that make this decision difficult for a front office. I'm still shocked that it was a fourth round pick, just based on where he was drafted and how we perceive him, but I can understand how we've gotten here.
I think $20 million is chump change for a quarterback, in which you can take that hit. You can take that hit and it not hurt you. That's a lineman and a wide receiver that are on the tail ends of their careers, right? So I wouldn't put too much stock into the salary cap for it. I think what you do have, and I know you said it creates pressure for both Russell and for Justin, but essentially, when you name Russell the starter and say, look, there is no competition here, Justin's coming in as a backup, I need him to learn our offense, I need him to worry about learning our offensive coordinator and his receivers, Russell, just go out there and just know, like, you're the starter, which the way that I can guarantee Mike Tomlin coaches, you're the starter, but that doesn't mean that you're starting for the whole season. You lose this spot and we're bringing in the backup. I want to say Ben Roethlisberger replaced Tommy Maddox at a point in time where Maddox wasn't all that bad. Roethlisberger came in and took his job and stayed there, right? So like it's not like we haven't seen this type of thing before in the Pittsburgh, I would say, organization.
I'm going to try something. Hopefully this works. But this is the problem that we might have, is that Russell Wilson has a few bad games and you get this. That wasn't as angry as I was hoping it would be. I was looking for here crowd booing and hissing. Because you know, as soon as Russ starts to look a little shaky, the fans are going to want his head in Pittsburgh. It just creates this immense amount of pressure. And you could tell Russ he's a starting QB week one, and you're our guy. But the fans now know that Justin Fields is sitting there. And
don't fuck up.
Exactly. And you know what that does with that pressure? You're going to fuck up.
No. Because if you do what Tom Brady did, what Aaron Rodgers did, you go out there and you have one of the best seasons of your career because they brought in another quarterback.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that Russell needs... Look, though, I mean, we ragged on him, Broncos country, right? Right? Like, we ragged on him for that.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Like, we ragged on him for that, but at the end of the day, like, Wilson had a decent season. It wasn't just, you know, the, you know, him and his fault. Let's just say this: the Steelers won 10 games. I think they went 10-7 last year with Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky. If they had quarterback play of 3,000 passing yards with 27 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, I think they would have been in a really good spot. So, like, and that's with the weapons that they have at wide receiver, Freiermuth, obviously at tight end. I still draft Najee Harris. I think he's a decent running back. He's the only running back in the last 4 seasons to have 1,000 yards each season. So, like, they have weapons, better weapons than they do in Denver, with a better defense. Remember the defensive player of the year, TJ Watt,
mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick. So, like, he's surrounded by a better staff. He's surrounded by a better offense and a better defense. I think Russ will be fine. I don't think there's undue pressure that's going to be on him. Yes, if he does suck, then they're going to ask for his head. But if he goes out there, throws, you know, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception per game, nobody's going to be mad at that.
I've heard from very smart football people that,
damn, I'm dumb. Okay,
appreciate you. I mean, like, people who, like, literally do this every day for a living, you know, on podcasts and such, that the numbers with Russ last year were a little bit deceiving. Like, if you watch the tape, it was not as good as the numbers suggest. So, I mean, we'll see, though. Again, it's a lot to unpack. I'm excited to see how this turns out. And the last thing I just wanted to circle back on the Black Dick situation in Orlando. Again, Anthony Black and Grady Dick, 2 rookies swapping jerseys after the game. And obviously did that jersey swap in the correct order where it reads Black Dick as the 2 jerseys. I did look into this a little more because I was intrigued by it, Reddit looked into it and I got information. I wanted to find out how this happened. It was one Anthony Black, the mastermind behind this. And I love that. He's my guy, rookie for Orlando Magic. He went over to Grady Dick after the game, pitched the idea. Grady's like, fuck it. Okay. Anthony Black runs across the court, grabs the cameraman to witness the jersey swap, and the moment becomes viral. I love it. It's hilarious, and it just shows how much fun this Magic team is.
There's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, I think it is funny on the back end that they were able to do that. Even better that it's, you know, the rookie that's like, hey guys, come here. You know, have fun, right? Like, they're in a time where everything and everybody wants to be oh so serious. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you got the laugh. It went viral. Literally everybody in the world knows about this. So good for them.
And then Reddit obviously lost their mind and tried to find other players to jersey swap with Grady Dick. Nominees were Derek White from the Celtics. Obviously White Dick. Nassir Little with the Portland Trail Blazers. You can kind of figure out where that one goes. Yep. And what was the other one? We had Little Dick, White Dick. I can't believe I can't remember the last one. Anyways, yeah, great. Oh, Trae Young, obviously.
Wow, that's a bit much.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't remember it. Young Dick, obviously. Anywho, good, fun, quick hit section. Let's go into our tournament of rappers. I'll just move the banner so you can see a little better.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll try to hit you up with some music as we go through this. If you're watching live, you're able to see our full tournament bracket. And also, we'll also post it on our socials tomorrow. But if you're listening on podcast, we'll try to fill you in on some of the details and hit you up. So let's just go over our one seeds really quick and just tell you who the one seeds are in the tournament. You want to do seed by seed real quick just to let everyone know who's in the tournament? Maybe we can stop. So,
well, you want to do top left, bottom left, bottom, top right, bottom right?
Yeah, we'll just go through the seeds. We'll just do all the one seeds real quick. So the one seeds for our tournament of rappers are as the following: Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Tupac, and Nas. I feel like it's a legit good 4 number one seeds. Obviously, you have 3 legends of the game. I think Tupac and Jay-Z are probably on the tier of their own above the other guys. And then one new guy in Kendrick Lamar, which again, like, I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan, but I've talked to a few people who do really like rap music, and they're like, yeah, no, he's the guy. Like, he is the modern generation, like, GOAT rapper.
So this one was, like, I won't say hard for me to, like, agree with, But it was one of those, all right, I see where people were going with it. I think Kendrick being a one is kind of high. Only reason why I say that is like there's always going to be recency bias in there. I think there are some people that probably could have fought him for one based off of like what they do. Reason being is, you know, I see like an Eminem there. I see potentially a J. Cole just because they have a very similar style of rapping. But I'm not arguing for or against, just one. The one that I would say, okay, that you must have had an undefeated season to get to that one seed in a weak conference.
Yeah, I think Kendrick's probably the weakest of the four one seeds. Our two seeds, and I have it on mine as well, our two seeds are Drake, Lil Wayne, so two modern rappers, Eminem, and then Notorious B.I.G., which was the highest ranked number two seed. He was five overall in the rankings.
Yeah, and I think that, so I, honestly, just based off of name, I feel as though the twos are stronger than the ones. Not to say better rappers, but I think the grouping of the two seeds, I think they are much stronger. Drake, Lil Wayne, Young Money, obviously, as a group. We know the history that Wayne has when it comes to banger after banger after banger. But we also know the longevity of Drake for him to put out music, pop, hip-hop, rap, R&B, all of that. We all know about M being probably the toughest rapper in the history of the game. Nobody wants to go after him. And if they do, they end up choosing to do rock music instead after. Shout out to MGN, MGK, I think it was, Machine Gun Kelly. He tried to actually, you know, talk shit to him, and now he sings country. and then there's Big, right? And I think Big goes into that like early 90s rapper that like, just because of the genre, people like put them up there based off of, you know, maybe one album. So I think that's still a strong group.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some, you can question some weaknesses in some of these number two seeds. So for example, Drake, I know a lot of people have beef against Drake because he's like more of an emotional, you know, artist. Like there's a lot of emotional songs versus like some of these, I don't know, more like traditionalist, like hardcore rappers like Jay-Z. Like it's all just streets and just male energy versus Drake. And then Drake's also more of a, you know, is he really a rapper? Is he pop star? I don't know. But you can't deny like he has had a run of just banger after banger and dominated the mid to late, you know, 2000s. Did you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. I mean, just the last point, and people probably going to hate me for this one, but like we hear GOAT talk, right? And there are people that talk about Michael Jordan being the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And then there's the LeBron talk of him being the greatest of all time because of how long he's done it. I feel like Drake is in that area where it's like he gets elevated into potentially being greatest of all time.
He's not even close.
Because you say that, but it's because he's been doing it for so long. If you have hit after hit and record after record breaking these numbers, how many records can my records break? Like if you keep doing those things and you do it for years, it's got to add up to something. Even if you don't have six championships, if you got the scoring title, if you got the rebound title, the assist title, if you got all of these other accolades along with a couple championships, doesn't that mean you got to be up there with?
If we're using the sports analogy with Drake, I almost feel like he played 8 seasons in the NBA and then played in the EuroLeague for 5 and the Canadian League for 4. Just because I don't consider Drake as a full-fledged 100% rapper through his career. Like he's morphed through his career as more of a pop singer rap, you know, than a rapper. I think his new stuff's mostly non-rap, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's usually pop or R&B.
Yeah, so Lil Wayne, listen, I love Lil Wayne. Like my informative years in high school was all Lil Wayne. Like he means a lot to me. I think you could pick at him as just like maybe as a pure rapper. I don't know. Maybe he may be a little gimmicky compared to like some of these heavyweights in the one seed. Like Lil Wayne versus Eminem as just a pure rapper. Like Eminem might be a better lyricist, but Lil Wayne just has hits. So it depends on people who vote. Again, Eminem, I found him to be controversial when I asked people. Some people really dislike Eminem. Some people love him. So we'll see. It's interesting to see how he turns out. And I can't really speak to B.I.G. because like I don't know him like that. But obviously, he's got a lot of respect in the rap community. And if you notice a bracket, I purposely set Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac in the same bracket to potentially have a semifinal matchup of Big Biggie versus Pac.
I mean, I'm all for it. That was always a question at my previous employer. Which side were you on? Were you Big or Tupac? Anybody that picked Big, I was like, don't talk to me. I didn't hire you.
I think the three seeds in our tournament are on it, except for one. I think three of the three seeds could take down any one seed. The strong three seeds, Kanye, which I'm not about Kanye just because of some of his personal stuff, but I have to, you know, respect some, you know, his work as an artist.
Yep.
Andre 3000, I've heard arguments in a couple group chats that he should win the whole thing.
Yeah.
As a rapper. It's hard for me with Andre. I love Outkast, but it's hard for me to separate, like, okay, what from our Outkast do we attribute to Andre? And what do we not? So interesting to see how he goes. But like as a lyricist, my man can just spit. And then Snoopaloop, our guy
from the
podcast, another three seed. The last three seed, which is absolutely blasphemous. I'm sorry that she's there. Nicki Minaj is a three seed. She was on the Billboard Top 100 as number 11 or 12. And so I have to respect the process.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like it or not, Nicki will go down as probably the best female rapper of all time. I think that, I mean, there are other names on here that I don't see, but this would be recency bias if you're going to talk
about...
Meg
Thee Stallion's better.
Stallion, yeah, recency bias, bro. If that's what you're going off of, it's because she's relevant now. Nicki goes all the way back to when we were in high school. Again, longevity does mean something. That's fair. Ice, all these newer, you know, newer rappers, I wouldn't put them in the top 32. But I would put Nicki. Now, a three seed, that's technically, if we're going off of numbers, that's like 16th, 17th best of all time. Then yeah, I could see that. But I think she's better than what she's looking at when, you know, when it comes to her competition, like a Missy Elliott, I see is, in there for females. Same thing with like Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. I think some of the lower seeds are better than Nicki Minaj in this tournament, but, it'll be interesting. I think she gets knocked out round one. I'm not gonna lie, I gave her a tough round one matchup versus DMX, the sixth seed. I don't think she has a chance against the dog. but I think the other guys at three seed, Kanye, Andre, and Snoop can make a nice run. Four seeds again, really strong, but there's some unknowns here. I don't know how it's gonna turn out for the four seeds. The only four seed I feel confident about is having a chance here is J. Cole. Obviously a newer rapper. Different than some of the other guys. You know, he's not as like I would say a hardcore rapper, but he's lyrically really creative, smart rapper. I think he has a really good shot here. The other ones, maybe we can do a little sample. You don't want to sample some of these people to catch you up with some of these guys. The first one I want to show is LL Cool J. I know him as a, you know, as an artist. I didn't really remember his work. Not
just the guy in NCIS.
Yeah. But he has some actually good bangers. This, you know, you're probably familiar with this one right here. So he comes pretty hard, man. I got to throw some respect for LL Cool J. I think he's a little high as a four seed in our tournament, but, you know, that's where Billboard has him ranked.
Yeah, the fours are, you got to know music because they're this seeding area. You definitely got to know music because they're older. Scarface, Rakim, and LL Cool J. Those are like older rappers that you need to do some digging to actually understand the music that they put out. So I think just based off of who people know, you might see the lower seeds take some of these matchups just because they may not know who the music is from.
Yeah, it depends. Like if the old heads get in here and start voting on this tournament, some of these older rappers could make a run. I have some Rakim on right now. I don't know what Rakim song would be good to play. This is his most popular song though. Ways to make figures, my niggas they come on the spot to fail sisters like the hair rail spitters, the kids on the ziggy ziggers. When it's ugly, then the club is lovely. Dogs beast. He's got really good flow though.
Yeah, and again, it's very, everything's 90s, right? Decent bumps to it. Obviously the flow that they have for each song is there. But it's do you like 90s rap or do you like early 2000s rap? Because there's a difference. And I think that's where you're gonna find out, you know, based off of everybody voting.
And I'm just gonna sample a little Scarface because I need to familiarize myself too. Gotta keep your sense of humor. Gotta be able to smile through all this bullshit. Remember that? don't know if this is a good song to pick, but might skip ahead a little bit. It's a long intro. Our lifestyles be closed captions, addicted to fake attractions, pictures and actions be played back in the midst of mashing. No fairy tales for this young black male. Some see me stranded in this land of hell, jail and crack. This shit's bringing me back to GTA San Andreas.
San Andreas, but it also sounds like he's a mixture of Tupac.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Definitely got reminiscence of a Tupac song.
So yeah, some of these four seeds that are unknown to me, and Rakim, what was it, Scarface, and who was another four seed that we mentioned? Oh yeah, pretty good. So we'll see how they make out the five seeds. We got, let's see, Ice Cube, again, OG rapper. This is a really strong five seed who might make a run. My guy, 50 Cent. Now, it depends if the young people are voting our age or if it's going to be some of the old heads or even younger folks. But 50 Cent, kind of blasphemous to have him as a five seed, which has him ranked around 20 to 25 overall all time. You want to talk about bangers. This guy might have as many bangers as anyone on this list.
Yeah, so I won't lie to you. 50's my favorite rapper. My favorite rapper of all time. Yeah, he hands down is... and I think his Get Rich or Die Tryin' album.
What song? Give me a song.
The best song that's on that track, probably If I Can't. I'm a big fan of If I Can't. Many Men is there. Heat is good. Patiently Waiting with Eminem, obviously. Back Down, Bloodhound. Pimp with Snoop, whether it's the original or the remix. 21 Questions came out. Like, that whole album was just incredible. Yeah, Many Men. Wish death upon me. Blood in my dog and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And niggas trying to take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gonna see. This is a great gym song, by the way. Any track in that album, you could probably play at the gym. So yeah, I would say 50 is going to make a strong case as a five seed. For others, you know, I look at Big Daddy Kane. Probably, again, people may not know who he is. And Missy Elliott, like, people know a few songs from Missy, but no, I think if there's the strongest candidate out of this class is 50.
50 is absolutely the best five seed. Missy needs more respect than she's getting, only because she was a trendsetter for a female rapper. She kind of broke the doors down. I mean, who doesn't love this song? That beat, man, so good.
Wait for it, though. Oh, so early. There it is.
This is gonna be a fun tournament, man. Yeah, I find that a lot of the older rappers got stuck between four and five seeds, so we'll see. Some of them will make it out because they're playing each other in this tournament. Six seeds, a couple old ones again. We have Ghostface Killer, KRS-One. Curtis Blow doesn't belong in this list. I don't know how the hell he made it on this list. And the strongest six seed, who I think will have a Cinderella run through the tournament, is my dog, the dog. You know him, DMX. And I got to say, the best DMX song, we can debate it, but I got to go with... For me, DMX is like one of a complete package rapper where he had flow. His lyrics were pretty creative. And for me, it's like the most aggressive rapper on this entire tournament bracket. And I appreciated it because, like, for me, like, you know, as a young football player going to the gym, like, I fed off this sort of energy, getting myself ready for a lot of things. D, first of all, what's your opinion on DMX? And then secondly, favorite DMX song?
Love DMX. I might say it's either Rough Riders Anthem. If it's not Rough Riders Anthem, then it's got to be X Gon' Give It To You. Yes,
good one.
I think, so this is a prime example of who knows what people are going to vote for, because of what you just said with the innovation of Missy Elliott. And are we going to think of her music? Are we going to think of her beats? What she did, it was like the first female dancing choreography, choreography setup shit that like went ham. There were some dancers and some old school R&B, but like she had people break dancing on rap songs, right? And then it became a thing, right? Like blue, like, you know, we got people that Jabberwocky is benefited from her. So do people put that into effect? And then you have DMX, like you just said, where it's delivery, it's passion that he puts into the music, it's the beats that he has for it, and then it's like the solid four songs that were just fucking hits.
Yeah.
Like can be played at any point in time. They are replayable at all points.
I will say this, that's a good point, because DMX has like a good 4 to 5 songs that are absolute gems. Some of the other ones, they're good, but the average person might not know his full catalog. He's not as deep as some of these other guys. I do think he has a chance, though. He's playing Nicki Minaj round one. I would expect him to win, and then it's probably him and Lil Wayne round two. That's going to be a battle, man. That's going to be a battle. You could see DMX making a run to the semifinals in this tournament.
Yeah, I'm curious, man. I'm very anxious to see how the voting gets set up for these, because I'm here for all the battles.
All right, so 7 seeds in our tournament. We got Pusha T, Method Man. We have Lauryn Hill, which again, that she's super popular, but I don't think of her as much as a rapper, and Big Pun.
Strongest one out of this one is just got to be Method Man. Mm-hmm. I think what he was able to do with Wu-Tang is like, it's incredible, obviously work. Not a lot of people know about Pusha T outside of the beef that he had with Drake. Big Pun is an old school 90s, you know, I don't want to be a play. I mean, do you even call that rap, right? That's hip hop, but he still has his hits. And then Lauryn Hill is, you know, the queen of R&B when it comes to that type of music. But because she does have, you know, I don't think it's Rainy Days. I don't think that's Lauryn Hill. But she has some hits where, you know, that's going to put the females up there. So we'll see.
Yeah, for Lauryn Hill, I've always thought of her as a vocalist with the Fugees compared to like a rapper. So I was a bit confused of her being on the list of the top 50 greatest rappers, but she could make upsets just based on her overall talent. I think one thing I heard about Lauryn Hill, I don't know if I was I talking to you before the show or my wife, someone that she's kind of known as a dick.
Really?
Yeah. Like she'll do like shows and tour and stuff. And she's chronically either 2 hours late or, you know, her set time, or sometimes she doesn't show up at all to the show. That's just kind of like the Lauryn Hill experience. Like her, she's kind of a diva and difficult to work with.
That's fucked up. No, I know. That's the first time I've heard it, but that's messed up.
Yeah. And then finally, our 8 seeds in the tournament, we have Lil' Kim, another OG female rapper. Fun 8 seed. I don't know. I mean, I wish this person would be in the tournament longer, but I don't think they'll get past the round one. Ludacris, 8 seed. Just awesome. T.I., another rapper that I really enjoy, but I don't know how deep his rap catalog is. And Busta Rhymes. I feel like the 8 seeds are pretty strong in this tournament.
Yeah, there's genres, meaning Ludacris being that mid, you know, 2000s, like, whoop, whoop, yeah, yeah. Why are you all in my grill? Like, I love, you know, Ludacris back in his heyday. T.I. had, you know, post-college or, like, pre-college hits where I never back him down. I'm going to fight on sight. Like, T.I. was hit for it. Busta is, I mean, I know what he put out in the 90s. And then when he, you know, he had that track with him and Lil Wayne and Chris Brown that everybody does the, like, well, I don't know why you hating from outside of the club. You can't even get in. That song, that shows Busta Rhymes' rap skills because of how fast he's able to rap without breathing. But yes. Just bought a new pair and they scuffed your shoes. Tell me what you gonna do. Act a fool.
them cops trying to throw you in them county blues. Boy, what you gonna do? Act a fool. Talking about gas, traps, cops and robbers. It's 911. Please call the doctor.
My favorite T.I. songs were on T.I. This was like my summer anthem in 2007. This song got me so hyped. How do you feel about this one?
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, mid.
It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Come on. Bring them out, bring them out. Hey.
Bring them out. Again, with T.I., I feel like not as rap fundamentalist as it more of like a pop rap.
Yeah, it depends on like what you're looking for, because there was like old school song, not old school, but like his earlier hits that he had that people did know about him. Rubber Band Man. Yeah, this is like early 2000. I don't know how loud that is for you guys.
That was good.
He takes a very long time to intro his songs, but when it drops. So like he can hit, right? And I think the song that I would go to that you were talking about when it's a T.I. song, I don't know how you don't pick this, but like when he dropped this track.
Top Chef, you know, I like my beat down.
Oh, you're right.
This was, you could listen to this at the gym when you're running the street, right? But like T.I. had these like motivational songs that you'd be like, yeah. Everybody played this in the locker room. So like, what are you looking for as like somebody that you say has a good song, right? So like, I think T.I. could make a push based off of, are people gonna remember what Nas did, or are they gonna remember where they were when T.I. was hitting his bangers? So like that's how I think what it could come down to.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. Let's go through our tournament predictions as far as who we think will be the final four. I've taken a second to look over this tournament while you were going on your TI spiel. So you'll have some time to look over the tournament. Here are my finalists, and I might need help deciding one of my regions. From the top left region, I should really name the region so make it a little easier. From the top left region, I'm going to take Kanye West making it to the final four over higher seeds, Drake and Jay-Z. I just think that's how it's going to break. The bottom left region, I'm going to go with a huge, huge, huge upset to make it to the final four. I'm taking 50 Cent to make it to the final four over Kendrick, over Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, and am I missing anyone else? No, he's a five seed. So I think we got 50 Cent, Kanye West. I think it's going to skew more younger. And then here's, I'll save the one I'm confused. I think Tupac will be the only one seed to make it to the finals out of the bottom right region, just because people respect Tupac and his legacy. Here's where I'm caught up on. Do we go with Andre 3000 in the top right region or Eminem? Because I feel like either one could pull. I'm going to play one song for each that I feel like represents them well. And then maybe we can kind of talk through it as far as who we think would advance in a head-to-head matchup. What do you think the best Eminem representative song would be? Because it can go different places. You gotta go Lose Yourself.
You could do that. No, that's too pop-ish. Just because it's a song for a movie. But like, you could go My Name Is, because that's his original. Like Chicka Chicka Slim Shady. You could go Stan. Like there's some good
Stan is a great track. Let's do that one.
still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not.
You know what? One thing I really appreciate about Eminem is, and I'm thinking about it now when we talk through this, is unlike some of the other artists on this tournament, maybe unlike any of the artists on this tournament, one thing that made Eminem so prominent is that he is an absolute excellent storyteller. Like, his entire song is like one giant story painting one picture, and it gets all tied together. Like, some of these other rappers, they have different themes spread, speckled through one song, where, like, for example, Stan is just an entire picture of one story, and he paints it so vividly that you can just picture it in your mind. And not only that, but a lot of times he goes through a very dark place with this and takes you into this really twisted, horrible thing. And like, I know that might be unappealing to some people, but that's true storytelling to me.
So that track that he had with Rihanna, I can't tell you what it really is, I can only tell you what it feels like. That song, he does the same thing where it's like, you're like, oh my goodness, he's talking about burning the house down with his wife. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But yes, like, he does that. And there's another artist on here that, surprised you said that you think he's the only one that does that. No, there is another artist on there. I'm not going to tell you unless you guess, but there's another artist on here that does that I have.
Kendrick, maybe?
I'm not going to let you guess. We're not going to play the guessing game if we're going to do that.
It's on your final four, though. Okay, all right. I think that's good. I think that's good on Eminem. I think this, to me, is probably, as a member of Outkast, I mean, some of his older stuff, you know, the AT Alien stuff is really, really great as far as Andre's rapping ability. I think for a more modern pick for an Outkast song, this is probably like his best work as a rapper, if I can find the damn song, of course. Sorry for the dead air. Here we go.
Yeah, it's club national, underground, thunderbounds when I stomp the ground. Like a million elephants, a silverback orangutan, you can't stop a train. Who wants up, don't come unprepared, I'll be there. But when I leave there, better be a household name. Brother man telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wet, in a silk suit trying not to sweat. Hit somersaults without the net, but this be the year that we won't forget. 1999, I don't need anything gold. Be what you wanna be, long as you know consequences are given for living the fences. Too high to jump in jail, too low to dig, I might just touch hell. Hot, get a life, now they on sale.
It's such a fun matchup if Eminem and Andre 3000 meet, because they both, as far as spitting rap, A plus, like, they're the alphas, both of them, as far as how fast they can spit and get through rapping. And it's just completely different styles. Outkast, fun, funky, like, upbeat. Eminem, more of a dark, disturbing rap. Do you have a pick who I should advance to the final four if I were doing this?
I can't influence anything with your own picks. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. But Truth, I appreciate you listening here on YouTube. And yes, that's another absolute banger. Sorry, Miss Jackson, where he takes the lead. I know Big Boy has some, but Andre closes the door, right? Like, he's the showstopper when it comes to the group. But yeah, I'm not going to influence your own picks, man. I'm not going to give you this. I have my four and you got to have your four.
I would probably take Eminem and push him to the final four. Fun fact for you. One of my favorite karaoke song of all time is an Outkast song. Any guess what it would be?
Is it Hey Ya?
Caroline,
only God would say she's mighty fine.
Mighty fine.
Mighty fine, only got you somewhere half the time. And the other half either got you cussed out or coming up short. Yeah, and I dig this now, even though you need a golden calculator to divide.
Fun karaoke song, because you get to say the word bitch about 50,000 times, which makes it fun. All right, so my final four, if I were to do the tournament, again, you the fan, you the listener, will be voting on X. We'll do polls for each matchup. You can decide who moves on. But my final four, if I were just doing this myself, would probably be, again, Kanye, 50 Cent, Eminem, and Tupac.
I don't hate it. Kanye, 50 Cent, Eminem, Tupac. I don't hate it. I think your list has... I think your list has too many high seeds. I honestly think there's going to be some lower seeds.
Oh,
that,
lower, like number 1, 2, 3. You mean like 8?
I have a mixed bag for it. So for me, my top five, my top four to finish this out. I think Drake takes the top left. I think Drake takes the top left. I think it might come down to either him and Jay-Z or him and Kanye. But I think Drake takes it. So there's a 2 seed knocking off a 1 potential 3.
I feel like I got to get a little Drake in the background. We haven't played a little Drake. He has a lot of fucking songs, though.
That's the thing, man. Bottom right, when it comes to, you're saying Tupac. Actually, no. Let me fix this one. Top right. I want to get rid of the heavy hitters, right? Top right. I'm going Eminem. So I'm with you on that one. I think he's a strong 2 seed and love Nas, love what T.I. brings. I think Andre is great, but I just think Eminem is in a different class of his own when it comes to tracks. And here's where we come in big. For me, bottom left, I'm going 50. I think 50 takes the cake with this one. I think his run with Get Rich or Die Trying and what he was able to do with G-Unit, people are just going to go back. I think people are going to go back and be like, this was Hustle's Ambition came out. That's my favorite song of all time. I listen to it almost damn near every day.
I love that.
Eminem might have fallen off, Jay. I get that. Remember, this isn't just recent. This is of all time, meaning somebody's whole catalog. So I understand, like, some people may not, you know, have the best music now.
He just took out 50 Cent.
he's talking about his song. Like, he's talking about
his song. I thought he called him a wings.
No, no, his song, he has a song.
My bad. I thought he was coming at you. I loved it.
No. But 50's Wankster is, I'm telling you, man, like, his catalog is, like, when he was in his heyday, he was in his heyday. And I think this one is going to be the upset alert. I'm coming in for the bottom right, the number 4.
Can I think? Yeah, I was going to say, I feel kind of regret not taking J. Cole.
So you said that Eminem tells a story. J. Cole is the modern day storyteller. He will make sure that he tucks you in, turns the light off, and sings you a nice little song before you go night-night. And he'll rap about it. He'll sing about it. He'll do whatever it is. He could go in for six lines. And then you're like, oh my goodness, like, this is absolutely incredible.
This is my favorite.
First recipe, sucker fair. For real, you the only father that I ever knew. I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the veil. For fear, listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would have been on Dreamville. Talk to her, nigga. One time for my LA sisters, one time for my LA hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. 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 No role models and I'm here right now. No role models to speak of. Searching through my memory, I couldn't find one. Last night I was getting my feet rubbed by the baddest bitch. Not Trina, but I swear to God, this bitch will make you call your girl up and tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm never coming home, I'ma stay for good. Then hang the phone up and proceed to lay the wood. I came fast like 911 in white neighborhoods. Ain't got no shame.
Those two lines back to back fucking get me every time. It's hilarious. And plus, if you can do a rap song and tie in a line, spoken word from the president, George Bush, at the same time, it's perfect.
Jay's that guy. I'm telling you, man. Like, I know you said that, you know, you think it might be Pac because of history. I'm going with J. Cole. I think J. Cole might be strong enough to win this.
Wow.
I'm not doing full predictions yet. But I am, if there was a bet to take, I would put J. Cole up there with
me. Let me ask the listener, Jay, are you putting J. Cole ahead of Tupac and potentially an Eminem matchup to get to the finals in this tournament? because I like J. Cole. I'm a big J. Cole fan. I have talked to some people that I've shared this link with. And I said, J. Cole underrated in this tournament. And they said, no, properly rated. He's not up there. So I think there's varying opinions on J. Cole, but I'm with you, man. I like J. Cole. I think he's a great storyteller. And, a lot of his music is really, really catchy. But again, I don't think J. Cole hit that mainstream success as much as some of these other guys in the list, and it might take him down.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me three times, fuck the peace sign, load the chopper, let it rain.
Oh, he's great, man. And
that fucking line is just so tough, man. I
love it. Jay's, by the way, Jay's got Tupac over Cole in this tournament.
I
respect that opinion. I think that's how it's going to break, but I'm with you. Like, for me personally, I'm a Cole over Tupac guy. I'm not an old school rap guy like some other people. I'm more modern.
Yeah, and a big shouts to Jay. I appreciate you being in the chat, man, especially because he said he's from Cashville, Tennessee, and he said he met Young Buck, so it's a big shout out to G-Unit. But like, no, I think that's going to be the hardest matchup of the entire tournament is when it comes down to it, because it has to. The next round is going to be Tupac and J. Cole, and whoever wins that, I think, has a strong shot at potentially winning it. I got J. Cole, honestly, though. That's what I got for him. If he was a two seed instead of big, then it would have been an even crazier matchup in the the Elite Eight. But sheesh.
So yeah, hey,
tough one, man. The second round matchup is gonna be tough.
Be active, participate in this tournament. Vote on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Frizz and Grizz. Frizz and Grizz, one word. You can vote and be the one to determine who wins our tournament. Before we get off of the tournament, D, are there any songs or artists we didn't properly shout out that deserve a play just because, like, you like a song or they just deserve a little love? You know? I mean, and Jay, if you got a guy on the list that you want to shout out, because I love having the active participant here, let us know. We'll throw the track on.
If you set me up a little bit better, I would have been able to search it for you. But no, man, like, I think we did justice with, like, people know who Jay-Z, Nas, Kendrick, and Tupac are, right? We don't have to play those types of tracks. But what we did end up playing were, you know, the songs that people needed a little bit of a reminder, just a reminder. You know what I'm saying? Just to be like, yo, don't forget about what Missy used to do, right? Don't forget about Mama would have knocked you out with LL back in the 90s, right? And, you know, Eminem's good, and he can, you know, fastest rapper alive. But let's not forget about Stan, right? Probably one of his most popular songs out of all of his track lists that he has. You know, I think we did a good job with playing, you know, the songs that needed to be played.
I wanted to drop one song because I think we are being criminally disrespectful to a one seed that is not only the one seed, but the number one seed. The number one rated rapper according to Billboard, and this, like, his catalog spans 20 plus years. He has everything covered. This guy right here.
It's big pimpin', baby. It's big pimpin', spinach. You feel me? Know I thug 'em, fuck 'em, love 'em, leave 'em, cause I don't fucking need 'em. Take 'em out the hood, keep 'em looking good, but I don't fucking feed 'em. First time they fuss, I'm breathing. Talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense of the word, bitch. Better trust and believe 'em. In the cut where I keep 'em, till I need a nut, till I need to be the gust in it. Beep beep, then I'm picking 'em up, let 'em play with the dick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put chicken fist and cup, divorce 'em and split his bucks. Just because you got good head, I'ma break bread so you can be living it up. Shit, I pass with nothing. Y'all be fronting. Me give my heart to a woman.
Yeah, I think I don't think we're giving enough respect for Jay-Z in this thing. I mean, he might be the GOAT of rap, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won the whole thing. Really funny side story before we get off to the closing takes.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this year I went to the Barclays Center in New Brooklyn to watch the Orlando Magic play the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, we know the Nets are a sorry franchise historically. They literally, you know, the Boston Celtics have 18 banners or whatever, 17 banners of all their championships. The Nets have a banner up. Jay-Z, 7 consecutive sellouts, Barclays Center, literally a banner with all 7 dates. Come on, y'all are a sad-ass franchise for that.
They are grasping for anything that they possibly can grab because Barclays was supposed to be what they have out in Vegas right now. It was supposed to be this incredible stadium that has just fallen flat. It's gray, it's dark, it's shitty. I'm sorry if you're from Brooklyn and you like that stadium. The world doesn't, so, you know, be from Brooklyn. You got Jay at least, but you don't have a basketball organization.
Yeah, so this tournament will go on throughout the month of March and April. Remember to vote on X, at Frizz and Grizz. And if you're watching the podcast, show your boys some love. Subscribe to our shit. Follow us, rate, review. We really appreciate it. We're going to get into the last segment of the day, closing takes, where we get out of here with a few either sports or non-sports related things to get out for the day.
The show is coming to an end. But first, it's time to get to anything we've missed. It's closing time. One segment, two takes. Narco.
Closing takes. It's our time to get off whatever we want to get off. I had a story, but I've lost it. But college basketball game. I'll get the details afterwards. My man sinks a 94-foot putt to win a brand new car. College students, I love this sort of shit. I love watching the NBA League Pass and watching some of like the halftime breaks and the intermediate breaks. Watched a woman 2 weeks ago, Jazz game, sink 3 three-pointers in 20 seconds to win a brand new car. Okay. D, are you in on the sideshow win a car, win a trip bullshit that is teams? You're out on it.
Out. Hard out. Love it. Don't get me wrong. Hard out because they screw the winners. You hear about the story that came out from like the Bulls like 40 years ago with this shit? Where, take it easy, Jay. Appreciate you being here. Where like somebody did this and they had to like change the rules because of it. Like you have to sign disclaimers and like you have to sign like you for the guy that golfed. You gotta like not have golfed in your life for the past 40 years if you
That's
had
some bullshit.
Well, hey man, like if they win it, cool. But like the woman that won the car, if she don't gotta pay the taxes on it, I'm all for it. But if she does, I'm out. I don't need this big ass bill for this car. Just give me some bread. I'll be happy with it. But that's the reason why they don't do money as much.
I found it. Auburn student makes 94-foot length of court putt and wins a car. It was Auburn University.
Wow, University of Auburn, get it right.
Eh, whatever. It's all in Alabama. Who gives a shit? But D, you got anything for me before we get out of here?
I got a good one here, man, because I've been waiting for a while. I've been waiting a long time to try to play this, so I'll make sure that I do it right. One by the name of Dan Monson. Are you familiar with him?
No idea.
No worries. He is the head. No, let me say this correctly. He is the former head coach of Long Beach State University's basketball team. This is a gentleman that gets fired on his day off, meaning not
going
to
get fired on your day off.
Exactly. So not only did they say on a great season that he had, they finished 21-14. And they said, you know what, Mr. Monson, I'm going to go ahead and play this real quick.
Hey, Waterboy.
Yes, it goes for you.
You're fired.
That's a great sounder.
They gave him one of those. And you know what happened? He said, okay, well, hold up. Wait a minute. We got a little bit of a twist to this. Not only did they fire him, they said, we'll let you finish out the conference championship tournament. And not only did he finish it out, but they beat the brakes off of UC Davis. They not beat brakes, but 74-70, meaning they punched their ticket to the NCAA basketball tournament. And he's fired. So what do you do as an organization now? If he wins a game, I don't think they will. But if he does, do you like, you know what, we made a mistake. You can come back. Or do you just say, I feel fired.
You're unfired. Hey, but my man's going to get paid now. Good for him.
I mean, I'm happy for him. I think it's incredible. You know, his team is probably like, yo, coach, we're going to play for you, man. Like, I think it's bullshit that you got fired. He was there for almost 27 years or like that. Yeah, like 17 years. Sorry. First time that he's been in the tournament since 2011. So been 14 years since. But like, good for him. Like, he's like, you know what, guys, this is my last game. And they were like, no, it ain't, coach. We gonna win this for you. And they won three games in their conference, and then they win the championship to get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament, which is incredible.
That's some Disney shit right there, man.
What are the chances to that, man?
I feel bad. I brought this lame ass story about a putt. I couldn't remember the university, and you have this amazing story. I gotta step up my game next week.
Well, you honestly scared the shit out of me. I'm not going to lie, because you said started with college basketball, and then you referred it to golf. So, like, when you said college basketball, my heart sunk. I was like, I don't got a backup if he's taking mine. But, yeah, man, I watched that, and I was like, there's no way that this happened. I was like, oh, my goodness. They literally fired him before the tournament, and then they won the tournament.
That's awesome, man. This was a good show today. I appreciate you all listening live, watching live, or, you know, on podcast the next day. Remember to help us out, follow our shit, and look forward to the Twitter polls coming in the next couple days, week for the rap tournament. D, why don't you get the people out here, right?
Absolutely. Before I do that, I want to give a big shout out to my producer and our biggest, I would say, fan of the show, Mr. Steven Trudeau, also known as The Grizz. I appreciate you helping me out when it comes to getting this Rodecaster. First time that I was able to put it to use today, because I think we fixed out a lot, you know, fixed out some of the bugs.
I literally was like, bruh. Turn that shit off and turn it on, and it worked.
I mean, hey, we got it fixed. I was able to throw in my own music. I was able to put in some Bluetooth clips from YouTube, So I'm happy about it. So it wasn't just money, you know, wasted.
I will say this: great, great choice, excellent choice for the first clip you're using on the Zaire. I love it. Keep up the good work.
I'm gonna try. I was mixed between either Vince McMahon, you're fired, or the Waterboy. I was like, the Waterboy fits because we're sports. So let's try to get up out of here the right way.
We don't talk about Vince anymore. We remember.
Yeah, you can't do that. Actually, really good call. Good call. Thankfully, I forgot all about that. But as we were saying when we're getting up out of here, Jay Truth, I appreciate you listening to us on YouTube because it is where you can find us. Please make sure you hit us up on all of our areas where you can find our podcast. That is Apple Podcasts or Spotify the next day. You can hit us up on our social media. You can hit us up on the Twitter or the X. That's where you're going to be able to vote on the winners for our tournament. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, maybe one day, TikTok another.
They're banning that shit. Yeah, they're banning that shit.
It in the States, so we might not create a TikTok because we don't want to do all that work to then get it removed. That would suck. But the website's not going away. One day we'll have merchandise. It just ain't today. I'm sorry. No sweatshirts, no sweaters, none of that jazz. But please, 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 y'all, it's almost the summertime. So please make sure y'all take care of y'all mentals. Everybody want to get right. Take care of y'all physicals. Make sure y'all take care of y'all chicken. Take care of y'all children. And we'll catch y'all on the rebound.
Hey, they got a website that you can hire girlfriends for the day.